Hello, 90s footy fans. Welcome to another week of the 90s Club Footy Podcast. This week, we talk with Port Adelaide Premiership player Matthew Bishop. Matthew, who began his AFL journey as a rookie-listed player with Melbourne, went on to play 150 games in his 9 seasons at the top level. He played 132 games with Port Adelaide, including the 2004 Premiership victory over Brisbane. In this chat, Matthew talks about being picked up as a mature age recruit by the D's, his trade to Port Adelaide, the Premiership victory, the showdowns against Adelaide, and playing under Mark Williams. I hope you enjoy my chat with the latest member of the 90s Club Footy Podcast, Matthew Bishop. Matthew Bishop, thank you for joining me on the 90s Club Footy Podcast. Great to have you on, mate, and looking forward to reflecting at your time at the Melbourne Demons and the Port Adelaide Power.
No problem at all, Trent. Great to be on.
Before we talk all things footy, I always ask my guests, what are you doing with yourself currently post-AFL career, and is there still any footy involvement with Matthew Bishop?
Yeah, well, I'm in real estate now, so it's keeping me nice and busy. I've been doing that for over 5 years. Just in the area where I grew up, out in Moorabark, out that way, in the out eastern suburbs of Melbourne. Footy-wise, I coach my son's under-14 team. So I've been doing that for about 4 or 5 years now. So, really enjoy that. It's a good outlet. And, the kids can have their moments, but they're a great bunch of kids, that's for sure.
Oh, fantastic. It's great that you're still involved in that footy, mate, and a different change of pace as well with work-wise. So beautiful. Love it.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah, it's good to still be involved down at the local footy club. Actually, it's the club where I grew up playing junior footy as well. So it's really good.
Excellent. Hey, mate, let's look at your footy career. Your AFL career started with the Melbourne Demons, but you were drafted from the Box Hill Hawks as a mature age player. Now, I did read you gained some attention from the Demons after training and playing some intra-club footy games with St Kilda. So what can you remember of that time?
Yeah, so I played 3 years at Box Hill, went down there in the under-19s. Played a year down there in the 19s and then played twos and ones footy at Box Hill for a couple of years. And, at the end of, end of 96, so I actually got a call up from Collingwood. That was when the rookie list was just coming out, and Collingwood got about 20 guys down to train before Christmas, just a separate group. And I trained with them up until Christmas, and then I got cut from that squad. And then St Kilda called me up after Christy to come down and train with them. And there was no guarantees, but they ended up saying that they weren't going to take any rookies in the rookie draft. That was the time when there was rookies and sup list players as well. So yep. They said that they were most likely going to put me down on the sup list. Melbourne ended up watching a few of those games, I think, and they got picked up from Melbourne on their rookie list.
So what was the conversation from the Demons, Matt, in regards to, obviously what you've done over that pre-season with then Collingwood and then obviously St Kilda? What was the conversations they had with you?
Oh, I didn't know a thing. I didn't know that they were looking. I didn't know if they were interested or anything like that. My expectations were that I was just going to be on the sup list at St Kilda, and I had no expectations or clubs ringing me or anything like that to say that we're going to pick you up in the rookie draft. So I think I was on the golf course at the time, mate, and found out that I'd been rookie drafted. So it was fantastic.
You made your debut in 1998 against Port Adelaide in round 5, and as you were promoted from the rookie list to the senior list that year, so did your progression to the senior side and playing your debut game come to you as a bit of a surprise?
In a way. I played a couple of pre-season games in the one, but the rookies weren't allowed to obviously play senior footy. So, the first 3 or 4 rounds, I played one game. I think I played pretty well, and I think I sort of had me in line to sort of come into that senior side at some stage and see what it was like. But there was no real expectation or anything like that. And then just during that week, they just gave me a call and said, we're going to promote you up onto the senior list this week, and you're going to be playing your first game. So it all happened really quickly. But geez, it was exciting at the time. And it was a great moment.
Funny that your first game against the side that you end up playing, quite a few games with and being a premiership play with. What can you remember of that day? Is there anything that really stands out in that debut game against the Power?
Just the whole build-up to it all. I mean, when you're playing in the twos, there's no one there at the start of the game, and those were the days when there was a twos game beforehand. So, the crowd had built up. By the time you get to halftime, the crowd's starting to feel, and there's a bit of excitement in the air around the last quarter, but on this day, the crowd's all there, ready to go. So it was really exciting, and the car park nice and full when you know getting closer to the ground, and just the traffic and all that sort of thing, and the build up and all the friends calling and stuff like that during the week, and everyone wanting tickets, etc. So yeah, it was a little bit unusual, but it was exciting, and it was just one of those things that you dream of as a kid. And I just remember getting that call up during the week, and then all of a sudden, it gets on all the TV shows that you're going to be playing, and you just think to yourself, gee, this is actually really happening. So it was a really exciting time, mate, and I'll never forget it.
10 games in your debut season, mate. How did you adjust to the level after, I guess, from game one to game 10? Did you take a bit of time to sort of get used to the standard and the pace of AFL football?
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's a massive leap up from the twos to the ones. It's just the pace and intensity and just the whole experience too. I mean, you walk out on the ground in the first few games and you look at all these faces that you've idolised. I mean, it was even like that when I was walking into the change rooms for the first time into these clubs that I'm playing for. But then you're out on the ground with these champions as well, and you're pinching yourself a bit, and you know, in the back of your mind, you're thinking to yourself, geez, what am I doing out here with these guys? But, it takes a bit of time. And you get a lot of good lessons too in your first several years in the game, because, these guys have been doing it for a long period of time. There's little tricks that they do during the game and just things that you pick up that you've never thought of before. But, the whole experience, you just try and get better and better every week. And, I was just fortunate to be able to punch out a few games, that's for sure.
In those first 10 games, can you remember any one or two opponents that, you sort of thought, oh, geez, I'm going to be in for a tough afternoon here, because they are just quality?
Well, I remember one game in particular stands out for me is it was probably about my third or fourth game. I think we're playing Geelong, and it was when Barry Stoneham, he is obviously a champion of the game, and I remember playing against him at one stage, and this is when he was coming towards the end of his career. So he's... he wasn't at the peak of his powers, but in saying that, geez, he was a wily old fox, and he had all these tricks up his sleeve, and you just don't even realise it's happening. And then all of a sudden the ball's in his hands, and you think, geez, what the hell just happened? So, you learn pretty quickly from these very experienced guys, but that's one that really stood out for me. But there was obviously several others as well, going up to Sydney and play up there in front of that atmosphere. And, we're playing Collingwood at the G. That was one of my first games too, and I think that was probably only a couple of points in that one. So there were some really exciting moments. But, every week you're rocking up and you're playing on a good player. So, it's really good. And, just to be able to be out there with those big boys.
Yeah, no easy gigs, and especially in that defensive position, mate, playing up against the big boys. Right. It would have been a hard task most weeks, I would have thought. Neil Danaher was your coach for the first two seasons. What was it like to play under Neil? We know, passionate, love the Demons, and obviously, what Neil does now with his foundation and so forth and his fight. What was he like to play under as a coach?
He was brilliant. Yeah, he taught me a lot, and forever thankful for what he did for me, just giving me an opportunity too. But, very intense, very methodical. He's a very smart man too. Like, he could really see what was going on out in the ground before a lot of others could. And very thorough with his preparation too. So, he's a terrific coach who was in the game for a long period of time. And, he's just an inspirational sort of guy, as you can see what he's doing now too.
I had David Neitz on a previous episode, and Nita was saying, can't give a good little, barrelling as well if needed too. So did you ever cop one of those, or did you see a teammate, get a barrelling or a little pump up to try and improve their practice?
We all got those, mate. Don't worry about that. You just take your whack when it comes. But I think every coach is like that. I don't know what they're like these days. But back when I was playing, you'd cop your whack and move on, and you'd just try and learn from it. But everyone was open to leather in those days.
Second season, you played 8 games for the D's. Was it a team that was really competitive to get a spot? Because obviously, 2000, they end up making the grand final. So were positions pretty tight to get in, get in regularly?
99. Yeah, I had a few hiccups that year. I think I did my hamstring like just for round one, so I missed the first 3 games. Played round 4 in the twos, and then played round 5 in the ones, and then I think I broke my arm that day. So I missed about 6 after that. So it was a really interrupted season. So, but to answer your question, it was a very competitive side. So, although 99, we didn't do as well as what we did in 98. 98 was a very good year, made the prelim. But, it was always a competitive side with the the calibre of players that we had, that's for sure.
Chick goes across the ground. Crawford will need to go. Bishop gets in behind him, takes the mark, flooding back two Melbourne players. Bishop, who is a long kick, we saw that last week, has no trouble kicking a goal.
Well, that was a great kick.
It was, yes. Gary Lyon was streaming back towards the goal square on his own, and Bishop basically said, oh, well, I'll have a crack at it myself. So I think he had to kick it. Otherwise, the questions may have been asked.
And then at the end of 99, you were traded to Port Adelaide. So, you know, how did this circumstance occur? Was it something that was from you for greater opportunity to Port Adelaide come seeking your services? Were Melbourne, you know, not confident of giving you regular games? You know, where did it sort of come from, this trade?
I think Melbourne were looking for a midfielder, and I remember Stephen Powell from Western Bulldogs.
Yep.
He was involved. There was a trade with myself, Brett Montgomery.
Yes.
Nathan Eagledon went over to the Bulldogs. Stephen Powell went from the Bulldogs to Melbourne. I think there was a few picks thrown around with that as well. But at the time, it was all a bit of a surprise because. You know, I was really happy with my time at Melbourne. I was really enjoying it down there. But, an opportunity came up at Port, sat down with Choco and the footy manager, Rob Snowden. They came over to Melbourne. We had a good chat and, it all just went from there. But, I wasn't going into the trade period thinking I was going to be changing clubs. But it's funny how these things happen. And looking back on it, it's probably one of the best things I've ever done.
Well, the move paid off, didn't it? Like, especially that first year. You know, I was looking at your stats. You know, you played 14 games. Giving a greater opportunity, I guess, to a degree as well. Did you do anything different in that pre-season? Was it just simply just getting that opportunity to play a bit more regular footy?
At the AFL level, it's all about opportunity and you've got to take it when you can. I mean, you know, everyone gets to the table and they've all got talent and ability and, there's a lot of luck involved too with being in the right place at the right time. But now when I first went to Port, I was lucky to learn off two very experienced defenders too in Stephen Paxman and Darren Mead. So there wasn't a spot for me straight away, but I learned a lot from those guys. And it was a really good experience. And then eventually found myself being one of the players down there every week. So there was really a good learning curve. And it was just one of those experiences that really helped me in a big way.
Geez, you went to the Power at the right time though. Like the club was building successive prelim finals in 02 and 03. Did you feel when you arrived there that the club was on the verge of something special? Obviously, you know, after, I guess, those few foundation years into the AFL?
Yeah, well, they played in the finals in 99. And I remember we played in the twos game before that game. I think they were playing North Melbourne. And, I remember watching that game after our game. And, they had a lot of young talent there. And they were a really exciting team. They'd only been in the league for 3 years. And, I was there in their fourth year. And, it was a really great experience because all the guys were coming through together too. So, we were recruited all around the country. And, I found that when I was there, like, there was a really tight-knit group as well. They were all on this journey together. And, it was a terrific time.
What was it like playing for Port Adelaide and, I guess, a side that was heavily supported with passionate fans as well? Like, what was the feeling like when you were running out at, I guess it would have been Football Park back then over in SA?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, they're fanatical supporters. They're absolutely brilliant supporters. They just live and breathe it. And, it's the whole Port Adelaide community really comes together when the footy's on. And, I experienced both parts of it. I mentioned it before that I played a few senior games, practice matches at Melbourne. And we played a game at Alberton one day. And I remember running through the race down there and as an away team. And they were shaking the fence and telling us where to go. And so it was good to have them on my side eventually.
I just want to go back to those 02 and 03 seasons. How much did the learnings of those 2 years where you had the prelim final experience assist with the premiership of 04?
Yeah, that was huge. That was a really big moment for us and the whole team. And it wasn't so much the prelims where we stuffed up. I know we lost the prelims in both situations, but we were playing home finals in those qualifying. We played Collingwood in the first one in 02 and then Sydney in 03. And we got rolled in both those games. And, it was really disappointing to lose those games when we finished on top of the ladder. And it really set us back in regards to, you're having to play the next week and then you play a away final in the prelim. And, we learned a lot from that. And we went on a good camp to New Zealand. in the pre-season of 04, and it really galvanised the group. We learned a lot from that, and there was some home truths told, and we all experienced that together, and 04 was just a sensational year.
What are your memories of the 04 grand final, mate? I guess the narrative was special for both squads, you know, either way the result went. You know, Brisbane four flags in a row, which hasn't been done since Collingwood in the 1930s, or Port Adelaide winning their very first premiership in the AFL. So the narrative was always going to be special, but what are your memories of the day for the grand final?
Oh, it was just a really special day. One of my favourite memories is, you mentioned the Port Adelaide supporters before. I just remember at the end of the game, when the players do that lap around the oval, and just the look on their faces, the tears rolling down their cheeks. It was just a really special moment. And you can have a real selfish sort of attitude and just think it's about the players, but it's not even anywhere near that. It's, there's a whole band of people, players, staff, coaches, supporters, everyone riding this journey with us. And just to see the looks on their faces after the game was just sensational. But just the whole day, like just the build up to it, driving into the ground on the bus, running out, the butterflies flying around, and just the unknown, because a lot of us had never been to a granny before. There's a few of us that had been there at other clubs, but just the whole experience was sensational, and to come away with the win, just something that we'll always have forever. It was a terrific day.
And I guess too, how important was it to sort of for yourself individually to get either that first possession nice and cleanly off, or to get that first spoil, just to give yourself a bit of confidence, because the tempo rises, and the umpires probably let things go a little bit as well. So, for you individually, how important was it to get that first possession or that first contest right, just to sort of set up the day for yourself?
Yeah, I don't really think about it like that, but it's just contest after contest. So if you blow one, there's no point dwelling on it. You've just got to go and win the next one. So we've always sort of had that mentality that, you just do your best and have a crack. But you're right, you got to really settle quickly, but it's not something that you think too much about. You just live in the moment at the time and just giving it your best shot. But, it was a really intense first quarter. I think we jumped them a little bit. We kicked the first few goals, and then they sort of come back at us, and halftime was pretty even. And even most of that third quarter was pretty even. And I think towards the end of the third, we sort of kicked a couple of goals there and got a bit of momentum from there and just went away with it after that. But, geez, they were a bloody good side, and we had some really good battles over the years. But I'll tell you what, it was great to win it because if we didn't win that one, there would have been a lot of scarred blokes walking around Adelaide, that's for sure.
Well, I spoke to Michael Wilson in an earlier podcast, and he said exactly the same thing. Like, he goes, after being so close and playing some good footy the two seasons, you wanted to win that because it just, it would have been very, very hard to not take out that one out. I want to ask you, that very first quarter, one of the most famous grand final moments was when Alistair Lynch and Wakelin were going and belting the absolute living suitcase, or trying to belt the living suitcases out of one another, more Lynchy on Wakelin than Wakelin on Lynchy. But were you near that contest, and did you see it happening, and did you sort of make your way deep forward to assist Wakes, or, where were you sort of situated on the field when that was occurring?
My memories aren't that I was anywhere near it. I think I was up more around the 50. Up that way, and I think Sean Burgoyne and Akamanis were not too far away from that unfolding. But the crowd was going crazy at that stage, and there was something going on. So it was a very interesting moment, and it goes into footy folklore, doesn't it? But it was interesting to see how that all unfolded.
Do you reckon that played into the hands of you guys a little bit, just with the frustration and that early argy bargy that Lynchy was throwing? Did that sort of, maybe play into the hands that you guys were a little bit more controlled with the way things were occurring, or?
Look, it's hard to say, mate. I don't know what's going through their heads at the time. I know they were gunning for that fourth flag, but like I said before, they were just a super team, so we were just happy to roll them on the day. But, we had some great battles with them over the years, and they got us a few times, we got them a few times, but the proof is in the pudding, mate, with what they've achieved. It's, they were just a really good team, and we knew we had to play well to beat them. But, to come away with a win and, to have that first one for the club, just a sensational moment.
And the celebrations, what was it like back in Adelaide?
Oh, crazy. Yeah, absolutely crazy. we stayed the night in Melbourne after the game, and then Sunday, about lunchtime, I think we flew in, and it was just bedlam. There was, the fire brigade had the hoses going over the plane and coming in, and then jump on a bus and go to Alberton, and there's just people everywhere. And apparently the night before, there was just everyone just flying around Port Road and just having a great time. So yeah, no, it was huge. And like I said before, the Port Adelaide supporters are so passionate, and they just love their footy so much, and they live and breathe it. So to share that experience with them was brilliant. And the family day on the Sunday was a day I'll never forget.
I don't reckon you would have been down there, but I reckon Hindley Street would have been up and about too, just quietly.
Oh, I didn't get down there, but I reckon most of Adelaide would have been pumping that night, mate. Don't worry about that.
Hey,
except for the Crows supporters.
Yeah, exactly. Good little segue, Matt. What was the rivalry like between Port Adelaide and Adelaide? What was it like to be playing in those showdowns? Was there, like a real bitterness towards one another?
Yeah. We hated them. They hated us. And it's just a huge rivalry. Well, as you can see from that Ramsgate experience, I wasn't there, but those sort of things. It's just a real massive rivalry. It's great for the state, they're a side that we like to beat, and they like to beat us. And just the build up all week, it's like a final. Everyone's talking about it, and you can tell that the supporters live and breathe it too. There's a part of me that used to think that our supporters took more satisfaction out of them losing than us winning. So just in general. So. Yeah, it's just one of those things. They all probably rock up to the office on a Monday morning, and they're just banter between the Crow supporters and the Port supporters. So, yeah, it's a big moment for the state. And we're really lucky to be involved in those sort of games too, because the build-up is sort of like a final too. So it prepares you for those situations when you do get to the 20 end of the season.
Burgoyne, little chip out wide. This is Bishop pushing up the ground forward of the wing. Carr, metres in the clear. Well, had the kick been slightly better and led him, he could have played on there, just taken it and cruised off. Now he's got a problem. Comes to Bishop. Bishop does well, steps around a would-be tackler, kicks over Freeborn. It's a massive kick. It's a goal.
You played under some passionate people, and we spoke about Neil Danaher before, but Choco Williams is also one of those types of, coach as well, very passionate about the game and about his squad doing well and so forth. What was he like to play under?
Oh, he was fantastic. Yeah, he was very passionate. Like we were talking about before with Neil, they give you a spray when you need one, but that's all coaches. So, but he was a really caring guy too. Like he wouldn't just care about your footy, he'd care about your family and what was going on in your life outside of footy as well. So, and that's, I think, what makes him such a great coach. And, he's proving that now with the roles he's had recently at Richmond, with the success they've had and the role he's got now at Melbourne. And, just this caring sort of guy that is really focused on footy, lives and breathes footy, very methodical with how he teaches the game too. So, we have things like kicking school and all sorts of different classes that we do to make sure that our skills and techniques are all right. And, he's just a terrific guy. And, it's great to see he's still involved in the game, which is an unbelievable effort these days. So, all the best to him.
At the end of my podcast, Matt, I usually have a couple of quick handballs, so a couple of real quick questions I'll ask that just are short answers. First one I'm going to give you is I'm going to give you four names, ex-teammates that you played with. I'm going to give you two Melbourne and two Port Adelaide, and I'd love it if you could share a short phrase just to describe, your experiences with them at your time at the D's and also the Power. So the first one I'm going to roll with from Melbourne was Russell Robertson.
Yeah, Robbo, he got rookie drafted the same time as me. They were pretty lucky. Are these long answers or short answers?
Nah, short answers.
Robbo, hangers, love taking screamers, good bloke, love the goal, don't worry about that.
Todd Viney,
a bit of an eye-opener when I got to the club, because Todd was, it's the first Porsche I've ever driven in, so Todd was driving a Porsche at the time, that's probably, but a gripping guy, great guy, hard at the ball. And as his son plays right now. But, I still remember riding that Porsche. I thought, geez, this is amazing. I've never ridden in a Porsche before. But all good.
Nice little memories there with Todd, that's for sure. Hey, mate, let's go to Port Adelaide. We know him well on the media circles, but I'd love to know sort of what he was like at the footy club. Kane Corns.
Yeah, Kane Corns, very, very meticulous with his preparation. No one prepares as hard as Kane. He just runs and runs and runs and just works his backside off. And, he's not the biggest guy. He's not the fastest guy, but he just worked his tail off to get to where he was. And 300 games, model best and fairest, and premiership player. So good on him.
And another tough nut that you would have played with at the Power, Josh Carr, used to hit the contest hard.
Yeah, he sure did. Yeah, ripped the fella, Josh. Hard at the footy, hard as nails. He's very unassuming too. Like, you know, he didn't get the credit I don't reckon he deserved. Like, everyone acknowledges he's a great player, but, you know, he was never touted as, like, you know, one of the superstars of the team. But, he was a terrific player, Josh.
In your time at the D's and Port Adelaide, was there a player or a teammate that you had that had a weird superstition that you could share? Like, there was anything that stood, that was just, you know, a bit weird, a bit uncommon for, you know, for, I guess, the most of us?
You know, well, I don't remember any. I don't remember any. Nah, sorry about that.
That's all right. Random one just to ask anyway. Hey, Matt, who was your hardest opponent during your time, you know, at the D's and even at Port Adelaide? Who was the one that you just really found it hard to play on?
Yeah, every week there's always good players you play on every week. So, even playing on treaders at training was tough. But, if I had to say one that probably stood out amongst the others, and they were all bloody champions that you play on, but Matty Lloyd was a bloody good player. He was quick, he had good hands, and he never missed. So sometimes, you know, you could play on someone that might kick, you know, 2.5 goals or something like that, but Lloydie always seemed to kick him. So, he was a very good player. He had a lot of tricks too. So, all the players you play on all the time, it's every week you're rocking up and you're playing a good player.
Who is your favourite football character? And I guess when I speak about character, you know, someone that you can enjoy a beer with, have a little bit of friendly banter and so forth. Who was sort of one that maybe, or a couple that stood out in that way?
Oh, one of my favourite teammates is Damien Hardwick, just a real funny bugger. And what he's doing now, he was just, it's unbelievable how he's coached 3 flags. But, really funny guy, hard as nails, and he was funny on the field too. He could give it a pledge, that's for sure.
What was the thing that was most enjoyable about being an AFL footballer?
Oh, just living the dream. As a kid, I mean, you just, all you think about is playing footy and how much you want to do it when you're watching all these guys. I used to vote for North Melbourne, go and watch North Melbourne play every week as a kid. And, you know, you always have that dream that, oh, I'd love to get out there one day. And, you know, there's part of you that thinks, geez, it's going to be tough to get there. But once you get there, you've got 40 mates and you're basically just working your backsides off, kicking a footy around and a bit of banter in between sessions. It's a great lifestyle. And it's no surprise that some people really do struggle after footy because, it's such a good job and you just can't find anything like it.
Matthew Bishop, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us on the 90s Club Footy Podcast. Thanks for sharing your reflections on your time at the D's and the Power. Much appreciated, mate.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me on.
That's the end of episode number 50. If you've missed any previous episodes, you can catch them all on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts and Spotify. We're on all the social media platforms, so drop us a line on Facebook, Instagram or Twitter on any particular episode you've enjoyed or a guest you would love to hear. This is the final episode of Series 5. We will return on March 2nd with Series number 6. Our opening guest will be former North Melbourne star forward and current Sydney Swans coach, John Longmire.
It's tough, it's rugged, it's good, solid AFL football.